have an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, and I know the Pfizer, they're getting virals maybe here as soon as next week for kids. They say it's safe, but I'm not sure my kid, I don't know what to do. What are you hearing a lot of questions?
Well, you know, I hear questions across the board, not just from the children, but this is a big one because obviously when it comes to our children, we're a little more protective. Again, what they're doing is they're putting it in as an emergency use action before they actually approve it. And the FDA actually approve it yet. They recommended it for approval. And, you know, one of the things that I tell people is, you know, you have to do your research. You have to look at all the avenues and feel comfortable with your response. And, you know, the FDA researchers, they look at the projections and things of that nature. And this is something that I came across as people were asking me. They base the projection of childhood cases on an assumption, and that the Pfizer's COVID vaccine would be about 70% effective over 6 months. So they're basing it on an assumption, one. So they're assuming that it's going to be 70% effective. And yes, there was a study that I believe it was released by Pfizer that in their research that it was 90% effective, and I understand all of that. But they're making an assumption that it's only 70% effective, and I'm saying to myself, I don't know if I want to take a risk with someone, that's only 70% effective. You know, like if a plane was only 70% effective, I wouldn't get on the plane.
Right.
You know? So it's challenging because, you know, you say things like that and people are like, oh, well, you know, you're not protecting other people. And I disagree. I think that we have to look at each individual cases, and you know, and they also in their calculation, they actually calculated in the risk of myocarditis or the inflammation of the heart, and you know, it was interesting because I read that, and then you know, subsequent to that, I received an article about Nordic nations, you know, like Sweden and you know, Denmark, Finland, areas like that. They're suspending the use of the Moderna vaccine over heart inflammation concerns for children that are younger. So if people don't get this information and they don't know this information, how can, and they're only hearing one side, how can they make an educated guess? And I'm not bashing people if they decide to do it, okay? They just have to educate themselves. And so I let people know, hey, this is the other side of the things that I'm hearing, but I respect where you're coming from, and if you decide that this is what you want to do, just make sure that you know how to look out for side effects or anything that might be an effect, because most unprecedented vaccines take 12.5 years.
Oh, I know. People have no idea the traditional, how fast this is done. Well, Dr. Sam, before I let you go, I think one thing I don't want to see, because we've seen it too much, in our poll question this morning, thanks to our friends at VestCount, VestCount.org, is if you're in the category where they recommend you get a fourth shot, you know, they're going to say certain folks, would you get it? 50-50. I mean, that's about what the public. My question to you is, with a parent and a young child, I think unless they have certain underlying comorbidities, your child, God forbid, there are kids that battle cancer, so their immune system may be weaker. There are kids that have other issues.
Yes.
Outside of those, if you have a normal, healthy kid, thank goodness, thank God, lucky, you know, fortunate, who's 8 years old, I don't think there's a terrible worry about this virus. And if you have a parent and it's new and you have questions about it, I don't want to see people, mocking and browbeating a parent who has questions about what's best for their kid. I think it's up to the parent. Now, that's just me. And I think another things we've seen, and I've been critical of the president at times when he even, you know, I know he's frustrated that more police and firefighters, there's a story today, New York, that firefighters are not showing up on the job because they don't want to be forced tomorrow to get a vaccine. Now, people have questions, and I you got to do what you got to do. I'm not advocating one way or the other. I'm not advocating one way or the other at all. But, you know, and I think overall, if you're an adult and you're older and all that, it's probably a very safe way to go. But if you're a parent and you have an 8-year-old kid and you're not sure, I don't think those parents should be browbeaten and bullied, do you?
No, and that's one of the things. We've created a culture where people are either demonized or segregated because of that. And my brother, you know, a prime example, my brother has a daughter that's autistic that, she's an older, she's 22. However, they were shaming her. You know, it's like we talked about body shaming at one point. How can you shame somebody into doing something when you don't know the actual outcomes over a long period? And people argue, well, you're not protecting others. I disagree in that sense, and I'm not judging you whether you get it or not, just like you said, one way or another. However, for those that have comorbidities or are at risk, absolutely, it might be the proper way to go for them. Again, it's still a personal choice. And I think that's, you know, and when they, you know, when the government, you know, pays Pfizer to buy 28 million vaccines or 26 million vaccines to have them for children, well, what are they going to say? Well, we spent all this money, you know, let's use them.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
A little common sense. Dr. Sam, thank you so much for some great health insights. I appreciate you joining us on GMI Studios this morning. Thank you.